Easter Place starts Tuesday, and then when is the next day it's going to be on?
Thursday.
Okay, yeah, you passed that test. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, and these actors are right from our own, our church and our Bible school, and it's bring friends, relatives, neighbors, bring them here this week. And after every play, Pastor Love will give a message of an invitation for people to believe and put their trust in Christ. Keep it in prayer. Keep it in prayer. Amen. Okay. You know what? About a month ago, I was windsurfing at Rocky Point. Okay. Yeah. And it was very cold. The weather was not bad, about 57 degrees, but the water was freezing. And there were two Arab ladies sitting at the end of the dock, the pier. And I said, "Is it cold?" They said, "Yes, it's cold. What are you doing?" So I went surfed there for about an hour. I got really cold and so on. I talked to them a little bit. We exchanged numbers. When I was in Poland, they sent me a text message, "When are you going to come and visit us?" I said, "I'm in Europe when I come back." Yesterday morning, they called me, "When are you going to come and visit us?" I said, "I want to visit you, but would you like to come to church tomorrow morning?" They said, "Yes." So here they are. So yeah, the whole family. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Huh? Fishing, really. Big net load. From Aleppo, Syria. And we all know in the news what has been happening in Syria with the civil war. And people coming, and you know, it just must be awesome to come here. And hard, sad, leaving home, and then to come here and to say welcome, you know, welcome. And God loves you. God loves you. Yeah. Wow. Amen. God is love. If you turn to Matthew chapter 27, we see a very unique chapter in our Bible. And I want to give you a challenge of reading this chapter this week and seeing in it many elements. I always think of Israel as being a very small country, and in that small country, there is a very dynamic force with many elements. Christ is there. That's one element. Christ is in Israel. And the government of the country, the Jewish government, the leaders, and then the Romans. Romans, the world, the civilized world governed by the Romans. Pontius Pilate. And in that contest where Christ is before Pilate, We have something that is going on today everywhere, and that is Pilate does not know who Christ is. And his wife had a dream. Do you remember? Pilate's wife had a dream, and what did she say? Have nothing to do with that man. But Pilate is he found himself in a very difficult place. He wants to release Christ, but the Jewish people are crying out, crucify him. And then he is still trying to make his way and detach himself from Christ. He'd like to get out of it. He kind of wished this wasn't happening. He said, I could release one. Should I release the one called Christ? Barabbas. Barabbas. Then Christ is crucified, and the people are saying, if you are the Christ, come down. Do you remember? If you are the Christ, the Son of God, come down from the cross. Show us your power. He doesn't come down. If we took these elements and just spread them around the world, I don't know if I'm going to be able to. Something's going on. Yeah, cough drop. Cough drop. Thank you. There's more coming. Okay. You know, Jesus is on the cross, and there's two thieves. Our play this year is about a contemporary single mom with a teenage son who has stolen a phone charger and is in trouble for a small thing. And he's a thief. And in the play, you have the story of a thief. Both are thieves, but one sees something in the dying Christ. He sees that Christ is different. He sees something. And in the world today, we could say globally, there is like the spirit of the world that does not see Christ. The world cannot see him. Like Pontius Pilate couldn't see him. And the Jewish leaders couldn't see him. And the one thief didn't see him for who he was. And that is happening today in the world. People don't see him. But Pilate, he's the answer. He's the wisdom of God and the power of God. And Pilate is saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I only know my wife said I shouldn't have anything to do with him. I know in my own conscience he's an innocent man. I know, but because of politics, I have to crucify him. Well, then who will you set free? Barabbas, the criminal. The bad guy goes free. The innocent man, he is crucified. But there's a thief that sees him. He is the Christ. Lord, receive me in your kingdom. Today you will be with me in paradise, he said to him. Well, if the world is like this, calling evil good and good evil, then how will I fit in this picture in Matthew 27? Who am I? I don't want to be Pilate. I don't want to be the high priest. I don't want to be the thief that doesn't see him. But I could be maybe Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea, after Christ has died, asked Pilate for the body so that he could be buried in a rich man's tomb. Why would that be important? Because if Christ dies and is just buried in a common way, you might mistake where the grave is. Where is the tomb or the grave, or where was he buried, or was his body stolen or something? But if he was buried in a rich man's tomb, then it is identifiable which tomb it was that he was buried in. And Pilate said, the leader said that his disciples would steal the body, verse 64. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error will be worse than the first. Seal the tomb. Make sure the body is not stolen. I love this. This is one reason why I became a believer, because we could ask big questions. How do we know his body was not stolen? What is the record? And when the Romans sealed it, they put a cord and a wax seal with a Roman emblem and saying, this is Roman territory, hands off, don't break the seal, you're in trouble with us if you meddle with this thing. This has to be sealed. But that did not stop the angel from rolling the stone away. It did not stop Christ from being raised from the dead, because the world doesn't have that power. They can lie, they can kill, they can destroy, but they cannot raise from the dead. They can cheat, mislead, they can be blinded, they can accuse, they can manipulate, they can control, they have armies and they have all kinds of power and influence. But then there is God. God raises from the dead. Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is the high priest for us, the savior of the world. Christ is the answer. Because he was raised from the dead, we also shall be raised from the dead. Now, we are speaking about end times, and I have here a slide we can put up there called Signs of the Times. And this is the list of simple evidences that we live with every day that realize that the Bible prophesied about the coming of Christ, that Christ is coming again, that Christ is going to return, not as the Lamb of God that dies on the cross, but as the King of Kings, as the Savior of the world, because we are going somewhere. You see, the Bible is telling us about the beginning, and then the history and the prophets, and then we read at the end about where we are going. Why Christ came was to take our sin away and give us a new birth, that we would be saved and born again, that God would be our Father, that we would have power in this life, a spiritual power. So we need to have a fellowship in the reality of these things, a fellowship in the Spirit of God. We need the Bible to speak to us personally in our spirit and teach us who Christ is. That now, in this period, we would have a church, a place to go to. I was sitting here today after the 9 o'clock service and watching the activity, cars coming in and cars leaving, and you folks coming in faithfully to be fed spiritually, to open the book, to love each other, to say hello, to greet each other, to be very kind, very loving, wise, to have the Spirit of God in our hearts and in our lives, and to be encouraged and edified, because we are living in challenging times. Like Matthew 27, in a microcosm, Pilate and Christ. So now it is global, and it is the world and Christ. And the world crucifies him again, so to speak. Who are you? What is truth? Remember, Pilate said, who are you? What is truth? Christ is there. A few words are exchanged. Pilate is saying, he's just being forced into it, and he caves. He doesn't have the Spirit of God in him. He doesn't have the truth in his heart. He doesn't have the new birth. He doesn't have the nature of Christ in him. He doesn't have the answer for the crisis or the answer for the problem. Pilate, he cannot do anything other than go with what the world is saying. Get rid of him. Crucify him. Set Barabbas free. And Pilate, regardless of his conscience, does that. But we are living in amazing times. Look at the first one here. It is the regathering of the Jewish people. In 1871, there were 25,000 Jews in Palestine. Where were the Jews? They were scattered around the world. They were in different places. They did not have a nation. 1871, 1900, 1914, there's about 75,000 Jews in Palestine. There was no Israel on the map. It was Palestine. How many are there now? 5.4 million Jews are in Israel. How did it happen? God is saying in the Word, when they come back, when Israel comes back, when the Jews are gathering again in Israel, know that it is the sign of the end times, that the coming of Christ is near. He could come at any time. But one of the evidences of the times that we are living in is that the Jews are back in their own country. And there's more that we will say about that in the coming weeks. Next, the church falling away from apostolic teaching, falling away from the Bible. having their own opinion about things, their own culture, not teaching the Bible, not having conviction about sinful things. Sinful things, like in the church, we are to realize what is holiness. We realize what is truth. We realize the joy of being a holy person, the joy of righteousness, the joy of the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts and our lives. So we repent of our sin, and we say, I don't like it. I know I may do it, and God will forgive me, and God will give me mercy, but it's not good for me. It's like poison. My sin is like poison. My sin is not my friend. Well, say, come on, Pastor, tell what sins? Hate. That's a great sin. Not to mention murder. How about gossip? How about talking behind people's backs? How about cursing? How about the social sins that the world is trying to embrace, like homosexuality? Homosexuality is a sin. But you say, but Pastor, come on, the day we are living in. Well, that's my point. That people would rather live in the culture than they'd rather live in God. In God, he says, it is not correct, and we know it in our hearts. But the world is trying to tell us something else, like Barabbas. Barabbas, set Barabbas free. And we say, what about Christ? They say, crucify him. It's the same principle on a global scale. When the world is saying abortion, adultery, how about, isn't it hashtag me too? Isn't it about women that have been sexually harassed at work? Or abuse. So on one hand they say that's wrong, and then on the other hand in Hollywood they're saying adultery and promiscuity and so on is only normal and natural. And we say, yes it is, but wait a minute, can we find another way? The other way is Christ. Wait a minute, is there another answer? And the answer is Christ. Do you see? He's standing in the presence of Pontius Pilate, and he's on trial, and he's the very answer for the problems that are in the world. He's the answer. And we that are in the church, in the Holy Spirit, we know he is the answer. Because he changed our hearts. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us an understanding of who God is. And we love him now. We love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength. Though we are not perfect people, but we aspire to him and his way. Amen? Amen. We do. We want it. But I could go to a church. I hear nothing about sin. I hear very little about conviction. I don't hear the Bible being opened up or quoted chapter and verse. I might be entertained. We might avoid those issues that would divide us, because they might say, oh, let us just be happy, good, kind people to each other. And we say, no, let's go deeper. Christ is in our midst. What do you think of him? Is he the answer to your life or not? And if he is, then you will be against Pilate, and you'll be against the mood and the spirit of the age. But let it be. Because we have found the answer. And Christ said, the truth will set you free. And you will know it. It will set you free. There's a great falling away. Number three, the threat of war in the Middle East. Well, this isn't new. The Middle East has been having war regarding Israel since 1948. It was peaceful, but now we see the problems in the Middle East, and this threat of war in the Middle East is part of the end times. Wars and rumors of wars. And then we'll get to it later. The Antichrist is going to use this as a platform for his emergence on the world scene. He will bring peace to the Middle East. Bill Clinton has tried it. George Bush has tried it. Many American presidents have tried to bring peace to the Middle East, but they cannot do it. It'll only happen ultimately with the Antichrist. The Antichrist will come and he'll bring peace there for 3.5 years. And then it'll be terrible tribulation. We'll get to that. Globalism, that means worldwide connections, worldwide economy, worldwide community, worldwide power, government, worldwide. We can see it can happen. The United Nations is nothing compared to the kind of worldwide global connections that will be happening coming in the future after the church is gone. You see, the church leaving, and the last one is the reuniting of the Roman Empire, which we'll cover. But the next, the thing that is presenting the ultimate running toward these things is this one, the rapture. The church. We are here slowing it down. We are here in the world preventing some of these directions from happening. We are here praying. We are here active. We are here with some moral fiber and conviction. We are here, and it's preventing or slowing down the coming of an Antichrist mentality that will be happening in a larger scale. The rapture. We've explained it before. One man told the story in the Civil War that the men in the army had to camp in an open field with no tents. That night there was a heavy snowfall. A lot of snow covered all the sleeping soldiers that were in that field. And they slept through the night and the snow piled up on them. Then the bugler blew his bugle in the morning for reveille to wake them up. And they started emerging out of the snow. The mounds of snow started moving, and then these people came out. And the bugler said, it looked like the resurrection of the dead. That they came up out of their graves. And this will be happening at the rapture, when the buried believers that have gone before us, their bodies will be raised up in glorified state. And we that are alive and remain will be glorified instantaneously. Our bodies will be changed and we will go up in the air and meet Christ in the air. For he will come back to bring, to get his bride. We are the bride of Christ, to get the believers that are in the world, this special group of people that have believed in Christ. The Joseph of Arimathea who said, could I have the body of Christ, he said to Pilate. And because he was a secret disciple, he was a believer. And in the world today, there are people that are believing in Christ, and others are saying, Barabbas, we want Barabbas. And others are saddened by it because we know Barabbas is not the answer. Christ is the answer. But God is greater than the world. God is greater than the devil. God is greater than unbelief. God is greater than any lie. God is greater than Pilate's weakness and inability to change things. I cannot change this world. I may be in it, I am part of it, and I cannot change it. Oh, how many believers are saying, I cannot change my life. I cannot change the powers that are in the world. When the world is advertising, advocating, pushing, presenting, I just go with the flow, and I cannot change it. And we say, yes. There's a secret. There's a new birth. There's the Spirit of God that comes in you. There's a Bible that speaks to you. There are other brothers and sisters that are in the world that will say, no, I'm not going with the world. I am different. I am born again. We have the nature of Christ dwelling in us. No, we are in the world, but we've already done that. We have found the confusion and the trouble that is in the world. We are not satisfied with the worldly mind and direction and desires. And hanging out with Barabbas is no fun. I don't trust him. I have coffee with Barabbas and I look across the table and I think, this guy's not my friend. This guy's not going to help me out. This guy's not the answer for my life. I need somebody greater than Barabbas. I need Christ. And when you sit with him and look across the table, you say, whoa, he's my friend. He's a good shepherd. He's the answer. I like his company. I like his words. I like his direction. I like what he's saying. And he's telling us something about these days that we're living in. Be ready for the rapture. I am coming again to take my bride to heaven. And that's the next one here. It's this one. The judgment seat of the believer. The bema seat. We will all come before God and God will search our hearts. And everything that we have done. I have a short list here of things that we could consider regarding the bema seat. Got a lot of stuff here. Cough drop is working. Little by little. Thank God for it. At the Bema Seat, how have we treated other believers? Matthew 10:41-42. How did we use our talents and our abilities? Matthew 25, remember, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. How do we use what God gave us? And I want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, body. Thank you, brothers and sisters that are using your talents, that are showing up and are available and learning how to live in love. And I think that all of the things that we do in our church here, we are free, like teaching Sunday school and adult Sunday school and the play and the many things that happen and raising up people to go and minister, the orphanages and the Bible schools and the many things that we do. How do we use our money? How well did we suffer injustice and mistreatment? Were we able to turn the other cheek? How do we endure in our trials? James 1:12. How do we spend our time? Did we redeem our time? Time is a great gift to us. How did we use our time? How did we use our life? You might say, Pastor, I don't know. And I would say to you, if you keep listening to what God is saying from the Bible, you got to have the Bible as part of your diet. You have to have the Bible as a way of thinking. You have to have a Bible as a way of meditation. You have to have the Bible as your reference in your heart and in your life. Not the letter of the Bible, but the spirit of the Bible, the message of the Bible, the grace of the Bible. How much grace did you give other people will be at the previous one. Did I get it? This one. Yeah, the judgment seat of the believer. Okay. How did we run the race that God had given us? How did we control our fleshly appetites? A man or a woman, they have a fleshly appetite or a bad habit. I might say, I can bring that bad habit before God and say, God, help me. That's a great way to do it. God, help me. You're going to deal with this. You're going to deal with this through the finished work. You're going to deal with this through the Holy Spirit. You're going to deal with this because I'm walking by faith in you. But if I say I have a bad habit and I just secretly do it, and I do it and I do not change, then I'm lacking faith. Why not believe that God can change me? Why not believe that God can take that thing away? If he could say to a tree, be plucked up by the roots and cast into the sea. I like the roots part. Like sometimes I deal with my bad habit by lopping off a branch or two, you know. But if he could be plucked up by the roots and cast into the sea, our God is like that. He can deliver me and set me free. Listen, how many souls do we witness to and win for Christ? It's not hard to be a witness. We're going to have a special day here on a Saturday. This is Outreach Day. This is outreach. We want you to know more about your opportunities to learn to share your faith. Just like this Syrian family, there wasn't any big evangelistic thing that I did out there in a wetsuit on and in the cold water and just being friendly, and they are nice people that are here with us this morning. There are people that are searching. There are people that are listening. There are people that are saying, is there any message? Is there anything greater than the things that I have seen in this world? And we say, come to church. We had a Finnish girl one time, went to work at a law office, and she went into work. She said, man, I had a great weekend. And the lawyer said, what did you do? She said, I went to church. I went to church. He goes, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Oh, I went to church. It was amazing. I went to church. That's like the message that we have. I went to church. I met the brethren. I had the joy of God. I listened to a message. I was challenged in my life. I love it. I love the church, and I love what God is doing. That's a good message. At the judgment seat of the believer, what does the rapture mean to you? If you are anticipating it, there is a reward at the Bema seat. Being faithful to God's word and God's people in Acts 20:26. How hospitable we are to strangers, we will not lose our reward. How faithful we are in our working place and being faithful in our commitments will be at the Bema seat. How we support others in ministry and how we use our tongues. Every word that I say, Matthew 12:36, my tongue, there will be something at the Bema seat. I am saying this not condemning, but just when the light switch of God's reality goes on, and in the context of my life, I will say amen. Praise God for truth. Praise God that I had exposure to it on the earth. Praise God that I had a pastor who gave me the word and encouraged me in the spirit. Thank God I went to a church where there was the Spirit of God moving and the believers praying and encouraging us. Not to say Barabbas, Barabbas. Barabbas set him free, but it said the other voice, Christ, the answer, hallelujah, hosanna, maranatha, come, Lord, soon, is what maranatha means. Okay, closing. Judgment seat of the believer, and then after that, the marriage of the Lamb. The reception. We had a wedding here. Reception was in the cafe. We went in the cafe. We said, crank up the coffee pot. We're going to have a party. This will be a big wedding. I think Princess Diana and Prince Charles in England, their wedding cost $100 million. Imagine. All the money and all the details and everything. Well, we haven't seen any wedding yet like this one. This is when Christ comes and takes us. Yeah, really. He comes and he takes us out of the earth. He takes his bride. And the father sent for a bride for Isaac, remember? And he said, you cannot take any from the Canaanite, nobody from the Philistines. You have to take somebody from my relative. Remember that story in Genesis 24. And Christ came to take us. And you know, we'll go through the Bema Seat judgment, and we'll be decked with righteousnesses. We'll be clean, purified, like Esther, bathed for like 6 months before she went before the king. Remember the story in the book of Esther. She was made clean by perfumes and bathings and a long period of time in preparation to meet the king. Well, that is happening this morning. God is washing us with the word. He's preparing us in our hearts. He takes note of everything that is going on inside our hearts. And we will one day be, when the light switch of God's reality goes on, we will be accepted in him without condemnation, but we will be able to say, oh, that is true. That is the way. He is risen. That's the answer. We know this. And then there'll be the big wedding feast. And the way it's understood is that the wedding feast will be starting in heaven, and many Bible commentators say it'll continue into the millennium. There'll be a wedding feast, and the people that go into the millennium will witness it. Old Testament Jews will be there witnessing it, and it'll be a very real thing happening, the wedding feast of the Lamb. Big, long, I think of the long table, the warmest fellowship you could ever imagine. People of all kinds there, and the bride is the church, and Christ is the bridegroom, saying, behold the children that my Father has given unto me. Brothers and sisters, we can look forward to this. This will be happening. The world will be in a lot of trouble, and this is the last one here. The world we'll get into a lot of trouble, a lot of trouble, a lot of trouble, tribulation. You know, wow, why? Why? That's my first point there. Why will the world have so much trouble? Why will there be so much death, war, disease, famine? Why will there be so much trouble when we are gone and the Antichrist comes into the picture? There'll be a rise of the group of 10 in Europe. This will be the revived Roman Empire. It'll be a group of 10 leaders. Three of them, the Antichrist, is called the Little Horn. He's a little horn because he doesn't have a lot of power in the beginning. But he will rise in his power, and he will kill three of the kings of the 10 and replace them with himself. And then eventually he will be above this group and become the leader of the whole world. The rise of the Antichrist. That'll be another message that'll be coming this spring as we go into this subject with more detail. But I want to go back to the why. Because when Pontius Pilate said, who shall I release? And they said, Barabbas. Then God is like saying, I will give you Barabbas, and I will take Christ away, and you'll have the world that you want to have. It'll be a world without Christ. Without Christ's people, without their prayers, without their love, without their righteousness, I'm going to let you have what you want. And you will have it, and it'll be filled, the world will be filled with delusion and deception. And you'll have a party. It'd be like one of those rock and roll parties when, you know, when somebody ungodly is promoted, an ungodly person is promoted. It'd be like Hitler in 1938 in Nuremberg with his huge army, and all of Germany is thinking Hitler is so amazing. And by the way, 1938, Time magazine declared Adolf Hitler Man of the Year. Yeah. And God is saying, you can have your Barabbas. I'll let you have him. I will be here. God is going to do his work here anyway, but he's saying to the world, you can have it your way. Listen, don't say that. Say it this way. Lord, not my way, your way. Not my life, your life. Learn to say that prayer. Not my way. My way might be party time, but then comes the stomach cramps and the poison. It's chocolate in the mouth and cramping up in the stomach. It's like a party time, but let's count how many are dead at the end of the night. Be careful of those parties, young people and older people. Be careful of that stuff out there on the street. The opioids and all the stuff out there that they sell you, that'll kill you. There's a 19-year-old kid in Bermuda who just, they found him dead. He drank one night, 19-year-old kid from a nice family here in America on a college trip, leaves the bar room. They find him in a ditch the next morning. Party time is not necessarily party time. Be careful what kind of party you go to. And say instead, Christ, I'll take Christ. But they say, but nobody wants him. You say, I don't care. I want him. Joseph of Arimathea wants him. Nicodemus wants him. And by the way, the soldier that put the spear up into his side, he said, surely this was the Son of God. He wants him. And the thief on the cross wants him. And so do you. And the Spirit of God is in this world saying to us, don't go with the world. Pontius Pilate doesn't have a clue. He's talking to Christ and he has no idea. And the world doesn't know what they're doing, but they just do it their way. And the Lord is saying in this period of time, I will give you 7 years and I will leave. The church will go. And I'll let you have your world the way you want it to be. And I'll have to come back to save it from total annihilation. Because you guys will screw it up and destroy it because that's who you are anyway. Just screwballs. You don't have a clue of what is really happening. You need to humble yourself and get before me and just say, God, give me mercy because I don't know what is happening. I need Christ. And God is saying, I will give him to you. Because I came into the world to love you and save you and give you what you really need. Okay, amen. Wow, that's fun. That's amazing. Yeah, praise God. Amen. Yeah. Okay, one prayer now with me, please. We're all praying. We're all praying for this week. All praying that this house of God would be filled with people. Praying that the people of God would have it in their spirit and be in fellowship and just build themselves up, receive grace, walk by faith, that God is not against you. He is for you. God loves you. Christ came into the world for you. Now is an invitation for you, an invitation to come to the wedding feast, an invitation to believe in Jesus Christ personally and say in your heart, I believe in you, Jesus. Teach me, not my way, but your way. Show me the way. I pray in your name. Anyone saying the prayer, just lift your hand. Anyone saying yes to Jesus? Yes to Jesus, anybody? Yeah, thank you, Lord. There's a hand over there. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Father, these are amazing days. Thank you for bringing us here this morning to build us up, to hear your word. Please guide and lead us in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.